secret combinations, destruction, and New Jerusalem and deliverance. We'll start in Ether chapter 8, verse 7. And now Jared became exceedingly sorrowful because of the loss of the kingdom, for he had set his heart upon the kingdom and upon the glory of the world. Now the daughter of Jared, being exceedingly expert and seeing the sorrows of her father, thought to devise a plan whereby she could redeem the kingdom unto her father. Now the daughter, of Jared was exceedingly fair. And it came to pass that she did talk with her father and said unto him, whereby hath my father so much sorrow? Hath he not read the record of our fathers, which our fathers brought across the great deep? Behold, is there not an account concerning them of old, that they by their secret plans did obtain kingdoms and great glory? And now, therefore, let my father send for Achish, son of Imnor. And behold, I am fair, and I will dance before him, and I will please him. And he will desire me to wife. Wherefore, if he shall desire of thee, that ye shall give unto him me to wife, then shall ye say, I will give her if ye will bring unto me the head of my father, the king. Now Omer was a friend to Achish. Wherefore, when Jared had sent for Achish, the daughter of Jared danced before him, that she pleased him, insomuch that he desired her to wife. And it came to pass that he said unto Jared, give her unto me to wife. And Jared said unto him, I will give her unto you if you will bring unto me the head of my father, the king. And it came to pass that Achish gathered in unto the house of Jared all his kinfolk and said unto them, will ye swear unto me that ye will be faithful unto me in the thing which I desire of you? And it came to pass that they all swore unto him by the God of heaven, and also by the heavens, and also by the earth, and by their heads, that whosoever should vary from the assistance which Achish desired should lose his head, and whoso should divulge whatsoever thing Achish made known unto them, the same should lose his life. And it came to pass that thus they did agree with Achish, and Achish did administer unto them the oaths which were given by them of old, who also sought power, which had been handed down even from Cain, who was a murderer from the beginning. And they were kept by the power of the devil to administer these oaths unto the people, to keep them in darkness, to keep such as sought power to gain power, and to murder, and to plunder, and to lie, and to commit all manner of wickedness and whoredoms. And it was the daughter of Jared who put it into the heart, who put it into his heart to search up these things of old. And Jared put it into the heart of Achish. Wherefore Achish administered it unto his kindred and friends, leading them away by fair promises to do whatsoever thing he desired. And it came to pass that they formed a secret combination, even as they of old, which combination is most abominable and wicked above all in the sight of God. For the Lord worketh not in secret combinations, neither doth he will that any man should shed blood, but in all things hath forbidden it from the beginning of man. And now, Moroni, do not write the manner of their oaths and combinations, for it hath been made known unto me that they are had among all people, and they are had among the Lamanites. And they have caused the destruction of this people, whom I am now speaking, and also the destruction of the people of Nephi. And whatsoever nation shall uphold such secret combinations to get power and gain, until they shall spread over the nation, behold, they shall be destroyed. For the Lord will not suffer that the blood of his saints, which shall be shed by them, shall always cry unto him from the ground for vengeance upon them, and yet he avenged them not. Wherefore, O ye Gentiles, or wherefore, O ye members of the Church of the Latter-day Saints? It is wisdom in God that these things should be shown unto you, that thereby ye may repent of your sins and suffer not these murderous combinations shall get above you. Not talking about in political leadership, but talking about in religious leadership. Which are built up to get power and gain, and the work, yea, even the work of destruction come upon you. Yea, even the sword of the justice of the eternal God shall fall upon you to your overthrow and destruction, if ye shall suffer these things to be. So the Latter-day Saints are warned by Moroni that if we allow these secret combinations to get above us in church authority, it will prove our overthrow and our destruction. Verse 24. Wherefore the Lord commandeth you when ye shall see these things come among you. So in verse 23, Moroni says, O Latter-day Saints, do not let this happen. And in verse 24, he says, but when it does. And again, I would go back to the end of verse 23, because when it does, it is going to prove our overthrow and our destruction. That when ye shall see these things come among you, ye shall awake to a sense of your awful situation because of the secret combination which shall be among you, or woe be unto it because of the blood of them who have been slain. For they cry from the dust for vengeance upon it and also upon those who built it up. Well, Moroni says, if we allow these things to happen, and then he says, they will happen to us, it will prove our overthrow and destruction. I want to cross-reference JST Matthew 21, where Christ prophesies of this overthrow and destruction among the members of the church and among the leadership of the church. JST Matthew 21, verse 53. And the kingdom of God shall be taken from them, meaning the Jews of Christ's day, and shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof, meaning the Gentiles. So in JST Matthew 21, the Gentiles has just been defined as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Same way that the Book of Mormon prophets use Gentiles when talking about the Gentile people. And this definition of Gentiles is going to be important for the last verse, verse 56. Wherefore, on whomsoever this stone shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. Christ has previously declared that he is the stone. And now he's about to tell us upon whom, during the day of his second coming, this stone shall fall and will grind them to powder. And first, it deals with the leadership of the LDS Church, and then it deals with the membership of the LDS Church. Verse 55, and when the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, he will destroy those miserable wicked men and will let again his vineyard unto other husbandmen, even in the last days, who shall render him the fruits of their seasons. So who is it that Christ calls miserable wicked men? Well, the same that Moroni is talking about in Ether 8, verse 23. And suffer not that these murderous combinations shall get above you, which are built to get power and gain, and the work, yea, even the work of destruction come upon you. Even the sword of the justice of the eternal God shall fall upon you to your overthrow and destruction, if you shall suffer these things to be. So Christ says that the leadership among the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, he calls them miserable, wicked men, and that they will be destroyed. And that they, the husbandmen in the vineyard, will be replaced with other husbandmen. Even the same husbandmen talked about in DNC 101:55, when we have the return of Joseph Smith and the servants on the scene. Who shall render him the fruits in their seasons? And many times in Scripture, we have allegories and parables of bringing forth good fruit. And in almost every situation, bringing forth good fruit is for God's people to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. So the reason that in the last days, when the other husbandman shall be given the keys to the vineyard, that they shall render him or Christ the fruits in their seasons, is because Joseph Smith opens again the heavens. And it becomes again possible to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and thus become Christ's son or his daughter. Now, as a cross-reference, let's go to 1 Nephi chapter 13. And again, talking about Joseph Smith's second ministry. Verse 37, and blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. For they shall have the gift and power of the Holy Ghost. Well, why would he need to mention that they shall have the gift and power of the Holy Ghost? Because it hasn't even been possible to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, since the days of Joseph Smith. And if they endure to the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. And whoso shall publish peace, yea, tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. And now if we go to DNC 101, as I referenced verse 55, the Lord of the vineyard said unto one of his servants, and as we learn in DNC 103, this servant is Joseph Smith in his return. Go and gather together the residue of my servants and take all the strength of my house, which are my warriors, my young men, they that are of middle age, also among all my servants, who are the strength of mine house, save those only whom I have appointed to tarry. And go ye straightway unto the land of my vineyard, redeem my vineyard, for it is mine, I have bought it with money. Do we have to redeem anything that hasn't fallen or been ransomed? No, you only have to redeem something that has fallen and or been ransomed. Thus, in the redemption of Zion, implicit is that Zion was established, it would fall, and it gets redeemed. Therefore, get ye straightway unto the land, unto my land, break down the walls of mine enemies, throw down their tower, and scatter their watchmen. And inasmuch as they gather together against you, avenge me of mine enemies, that by and by I may come with the residue of my house and possess the land. So now if we go back to JST Matthew 21, the enemies of the Lord in DNC 101 are the same as the miserable, wicked husbandman in the vineyard, from whom the torch is passed to the new husbandman who render Christ the fruits in their seasons, or who make it possible through the declaration of the doctrine of Christ and the opening of the heavens for God's people to again receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And verse 56. And then understood they the parable which he spake unto them, that they are the Christ's 12 apostles. That the Gentiles, remember we define the term Gentiles in verse 53 as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints should be destroyed also, when the Lord should descend out of heaven to reign in his vineyard, which is the earth and the inhabitants thereof. And now if we go back to Ether chapter 8, verse 23, wherefore, O ye members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Gentiles, it is wisdom in God that these things should be shown unto you, that thereby ye may repent of your sins and suffer not that these murderous combinations, the enemies of the Lord, shall get above you in church office and power. Which are built up to get power and gain. And the work, yea, even the work of destruction, come upon you. Yea, even the sword of the justice of the eternal God shall fall upon you to your overthrow and destruction, if you shall suffer these things to be. And we just read in JST Matthew 21 how the members of the church and leadership will be destroyed in fulfillment of the prophecy of Moroni and of Christ. Wherefore the Lord commandeth you, when ye shall see these things come among you, that ye shall awake to a sense of your awful situation. For this is how we can come to the place where we will repent and return, that we might not be destroyed. Because of the secret combination which shall be among you, or woe be unto it because of the blood of them who have been slain. For they cry from the dust for vengeance upon it and also upon those who built it up. And included among the blood of those who have been slain are Joseph and Hiram. Not by some external force, but by forces within the very quorum of the 12 apostles during their day. And also modern day leaders who would not kowtow to the globalist powers like Ezra Taft Benson and Howard W. Hunter. They are also among those who were slain by these secret combinations. Verse 25, for it cometh to pass that whosoever buildeth it up seeketh to overthrow the freedom of all lands, nations, and countries. And it bringeth to pass the destruction of all people. And we see the foundation being laid for this very destruction by what is happening right now with the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine and the vaccine passport, which is coming. For it is built up by the devil, who is the father of all lies, even that same liar who beguiled our first parents. Yea, even that same liar who hath caused man to commit murder from the beginning. And if the admonition by church leaders to get the vaccine isn't murder, when they know full well that that is exactly what the vaccine is intended to do, then what is murder? Who hath hardened the hearts of men and have murdered the prophets and stoned them and cast them out from the beginning. Wherefore I, Moroni, am commanded to write these things that evil may be done away, that the time may come that Satan may have no power upon the hearts of the children of men, but that they may be persuaded to do good continually, that they may come unto the fountain of all righteousness and be saved. Ether 9, verse 1. And now I, Moroni, proceed with my record. Therefore, behold, it came to pass that because of the secret combinations of Achish and his friends, behold, they did overthrow the kingdom of Omer. Nevertheless, the Lord was merciful unto Omer and also unto his sons and to his daughters, and did not seek his destruction. And the Lord warned Omer in a dream that he should not depart out of the land, or that he should depart out of the land. Wherefore, Omer departed out of the land with his family and traveled many days. And it came to pass that Jared was anointed king over the people by the hand of wickedness, and he gave unto Achish his daughter to wife. And it came to pass that Achish sought the life of his father-in-law, and he applied unto those whom he had sworn by the oath of the ancients. And they obtained the head of his father-in-law as he sat upon his throne, giving audience to his people. For so great had been the spreading of this wicked and secret society that it had corrupted the hearts of all the people. Therefore, Jared was murdered upon his throne, and Achish reigned in his stead. And it came to pass that Achish began to be jealous of his son. Therefore, he shut him up in prison and kept him upon little or no food until he had suffered death. And now the brother of him that suffered death, and his name was Nimrah, was angry with his father because that which his father had done unto his brother. And it came to pass that Nimrah gathered together a small number of men and fled out of the land and came over and dwelt with Omer. And it came to pass that Achish begat other sons, and they won the hearts of the people, notwithstanding they had sworn unto them or unto him to do all manner of iniquity according to that which he desired. Now the people of Achish were desirous for gain, even as Achish was desirous for power. Wherefore the sons of Achish did offer them money, by which means they drew away the more part of the people after them. And there began to be a war between the sons of Achish and Achish, which lasted for the space of many years, yea, unto the destruction of nearly all the people of the kingdom. Yea, even all save it were 30 souls. And they who fled with the house of Omer. Wherefore, Omer was restored again to the land of his inheritance. And it came to pass that Omer began to be old. Nevertheless, in his old age, he begat Emer. And he anointed Emer to be a king to reign in his stead. And after he had anointed Emer to be a king, he saw peace in the land for the space of 2 years. And he died, having seen exceedingly many days. which were full of sorrow. And it came to pass that Emer did reign in his stead, and did fill the steps of his father. And the Lord began again to take the curse from off the land. And the house of Emer did prosper exceedingly under the reign of Emer. And in the space of 62 years, they had become exceedingly strong, insomuch that they became exceedingly rich. Verse 20. And thus the Lord did pour out his blessings upon this land, which was choice above all other lands. And he commanded that whoso should possess the land should possess it unto the Lord. And they should be destroyed when they were ripened in iniquity. For upon such, saith the Lord, I will pour out the fullness of my wrath. And as a cross reference, let's go to Ether chapter 2. Verse 7. And the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth even unto the land of promise, which was choice above all other lands, which the Lord God had preserved for a righteous people. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared that whoso should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off. For it is the everlasting decree of God, and it is not until the fullness of iniquity come among the children of the land that they are swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, or O ye members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, and who hath been manifest by the things which we have written. So back in Ether chapter 9, verse 20 again. And thus the Lord did pour out his blessings upon this land, which was choice above all other lands. And he commanded that whoso should possess the land should possess it unto the Lord, or they should be destroyed when they were ripened in iniquity. For upon such, saith the Lord, I will pour out the fullness of my wrath. And Emer did execute judgment in righteousness all his days. And he begat sons and daughters, and he begat Coriantum. And he anointed Coriantum to reign in his stead. And after he had anointed Coriantum to reign in his stead, he lived for 4 years, and he saw peace in the land. And he even saw the Son of Righteousness, and did rejoice and glory in his day, and he died in peace. And he saw the Son of Righteousness. Verse 28. And there came prophets in the land again, crying repentance unto them, that they must prepare the way of the Lord, or there should come a curse upon the face of the land. Yea, even there should be a great famine, in which they should be destroyed if they did not repent. But the people believed not the words of the prophets, but they cast them out, and some of them they cast into pits and left them to perish. And it came to pass that they did all these things according to the commandment of King Heth. And it came to pass that there began to be a great dearth upon the land, and the inhabitants began to be destroyed exceedingly fast because of the dearth, for there was no rain upon the face of the earth. And verse 34, and it came to pass that the people did follow the course of the beasts, and did devour the carcasses of them which fell by the way, until they had devoured them all. Now when the people saw that they must perish, they began to repent of their iniquities and cry unto the Lord. And it came to pass that when they had humbled themselves sufficiently before the Lord, and he did send rain upon the face of the earth, and the people began to revive again. And there began to be fruit in the north countries and in all the countries round about. And the Lord did show forth his power unto them in preserving them from famine. Ether chapter 10, verse 5. And it came to pass that Riplakish did not do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. For he did have many wives and concubines, and did lay that upon men's shoulders which was grievous to be borne. Yea, he did tax them with heavy taxes, and with taxes he did build many spacious buildings. And he did erect him an exceedingly beautiful throne, and he did build many prisons. And whoso would not be subject unto taxes, he did cast into prison. And whoso was not able to pay taxes, he did cast into prison. And he did cause that they should labor continually for their support. And whoso refused to labor, he did cause to be put to death. Wherefore he did obtain all his fine work, yea, even his fine gold, and did cause to be refined in prison. And all manner of fine workmanship he did cause to be wrought in prison. And it came to pass that he did afflict the people with his whoredoms and abominations. And verse 33. And in the days of Calm, there began to be robbers in the land. And they adopted the old plans and administered oaths after the manner of the ancients and sought again to destroy the kingdom. Ether 11, verse 1. And there came also in the days of Calm many prophets and prophesied of the destruction of the great people, of that great people, except they should repent and turn unto the Lord and forsake their murderous and wickedness. And it came to pass that the prophets were rejected by the people, and they fled unto Calm for protection, for the people sought to destroy them. And they prophesied unto Calm many things, and he was blessed in all the remainder of his days. And he lived to a good old age and begat Shiblom, and Shiblom reigned in his stead. And the brother of Shiblom rebelled against him, and there began to be an exceedingly great war in all the land. And it came to pass that the brother of Shiblom caused that all the prophets who prophesied of the destruction of the people should be put to death. And there was great calamity in all the land, for they had testified that a great curse should come upon the land and also upon the people, and that there should be a great destruction among them, such an one as never had been upon the face of the earth, and their bones should become as heaps of earth upon the face of the land, except they should repent of their wickedness. And they hearken not unto the voice of the Lord because of their wicked combinations. Wherefore there began to be wars and contentions in all the land, and also many famines and pestilence, insomuch that there was a great destruction, such an one as never had been known upon all the face of the earth. And all this came to pass in the days of Shiblon. And the people began to repent of their iniquity, insomuch that as they did, the Lord did have mercy on them. And verse 12. And it came to pass that in the days of Etham, there came many prophets and prophesied again unto the people. Yea, they did prophesy that the Lord would utterly destroy them from off the face of the earth, except they repented of their iniquities. And it came to pass that the people hardened their hearts and would not hearken unto their words. And the prophets mourned and withdrew from among the people. And verse 20, and in the days of Coriantor, there also came many prophets and prophesied of great and marvelous things, and cried repentance unto the people, and except they should repent, the Lord God would execute judgment against them to their utter destruction. And that the Lord would send or bring forth another people to possess the land by his power after the manner by which he brought their fathers. And they did reject all of the words of the prophets because of the secret society and wicked abominations. And it came to pass that Coriantor begat Ether, and he died having dwelt in captivity all his days. Ether chapter 12, verse 1. And it came to pass that in the days of Ether, there were in the days of Coriantumr, and Coriantumr was king over all the land. And Ether was a prophet of the Lord. Wherefore Ether came forth in the days of Coriantumr and began to prophesy unto the people, for he could not be restrained because of the spirit of the Lord, which was in him. For he did cry from the morning. Even until the going down of the sun, exhorting the people to believe in God unto repentance, lest they should be destroyed, saying unto them that by faith all things are fulfilled. Now, faith. What we normally define faith as is actually hope. We normally define faith as belief and trust, but that's not what faith is. Faith is seeking after receiving and acting on revelation. And we must combine faith, seeking after receiving and acting on revelation, with hope, which is belief and trust. By faith, all things are fulfilled. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. And it came to pass that Ether did prophesy great and marvelous things unto the people, which they did not believe, because they saw them not. And now I, Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would show unto the world that faith is the things which are hoped for, and not seen. Wherefore dispute not, because you see not. For you receive no witness until the trial of your faith. For it was by faith that Christ showed himself unto our fathers, after he had risen from the dead. And he showed not himself unto them until after they had faith in him. Wherefore it must needs be that some had faith in him. For he showed himself not unto the world, but because of the faith of men, he has shown himself unto the world and glorified the name of the Father and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. So what is this heavenly gift? Well, if we cross-reference DNC 76, the heavenly gift starts out with, in verse 51, baptism by water by the Melchizedek priesthood. Verse 52, the first endowment, which is the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the power of godliness being made manifest unto men in the flesh. And if we cross-reference DNC 84, with the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, this is the key of the mysteries of the kingdom, DNC 84, verse 19, even the key of the knowledge of God. Well, how is the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the key of the knowledge of God and the mysteries of the kingdom? Because after a man or a woman receives the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then they have access to that level of revelation in the heavens, whereby they might be instructed about how to part the veil and enter into the rest of the Lord. Therefore, in the ordinances thereof, the power of godliness is manifest. Or the power of godliness being manifest is the reception of the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is a priesthood ordinance. And without the ordinances thereof, and this is not the ordinance that takes place at confirmation. And without the ordinances thereof and the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness is not manifest unto men in the flesh. Or in other words, when there is not a man found upon the earth of flesh and blood who is ordained and sealed unto this power, it is not possible to have or receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this is what it means to have an open dispensation, that a man be ordained and sealed unto this power. So back in DNC 76, again, verse 52, that by keeping the commandments, they might be washed and cleansed from all their sins and receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands of him who is ordained and sealed unto this power. So there are two parts to every priesthood. The first part is the ordination. The second part is the sealing, where a man receives power. And this is the requirement to have an open dispensation. And when there is not an open dispensation, the power of godliness or the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, is not manifest unto men in the flesh. And if we turn to D&C 124, D&C 124, verse 28. For there is not a place found on earth that he may come to and restore again that which was lost unto you, or which he hath taken away, even the fullness of the priesthood. This fullness of the priesthood is the first order of Melchizedek priesthood. Or in other words, when the saints were in Nauvoo, even though they had lost the Melchizedek priesthood in May 1834, when we were demoted to the preparatory gospel, the Lord was offering to restore it again. Now, Joseph Smith still retained the Melchizedek priesthood and a handful who are true and faithful with him in the Holy Order. But from the 99.9% of the members of the church, the Melchizedek priesthood had been removed. And when there was no longer a man upon the earth who had been ordained and sealed to this power, it was not possible to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Until that day in which Joseph Smith would return before the second coming of Jesus Christ to open again the heavens. For verse 32, behold, at the end of this appointment, your baptisms for your dead shall not be acceptable unto me. And if you do not these things at the end of the appointment, ye shall be rejected as a church with your dead, thus saith the Lord your God. Well, what does a rejected as a church with your dead order of the gospel not get? They don't get a man who's been ordained and sealed unto this power. Therefore, it is not possible to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, in that condition. But going back to what the heavenly gift is, so the first portion of the heavenly gift is to receive baptism of water and of fire and of the Holy Ghost. And thus have the heavens opened that you might be taught about how to enter into the rest of the Lord, which rest is the fullness of his glory, which is talked about in verses 53 and 54. This is the next part of that heavenly gift. And who overcome by faith and are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which the Father sheds forth upon all those who are just and true, they are they who are the church of the firstborn. Well, this overcoming by faith means the same thing as Nephi talks about as feasting upon the words of Christ after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that we might enter into his rest, which rest is the fullness of his glory, and be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise is Jesus Christ, and thus become members of the church of the firstborn. The next part of the heavenly gift is to become a king and a priest, a queen and a priestess under the Most High God. Verse 56, they are they who are priests and kings, who have received of his fullness and of his glory, and are priests of the Most High after the order of Melchizedek, which was after the order of Enoch, which was after the order of the only begotten Son. Wherefore, as it is written, they are God's little g, even the sons of God, big G. And back in Ether 12. Verse 8. But because of the faith of men, he has shown himself unto the world, and glorified the name of the Father, and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. Wherefore, ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if ye will but have faith, or if ye will but seek after, receive, and act on revelation. For this is how we enter into the new covenant. The new covenant comprised of two oaths. Man's oath is that we offer up unto God the sacrifice of a broken heart and contrite spirit, realizing that we only know in small measure what that even means, that we must receive the full terms of that sacrifice by revelation. And then God makes an oath back to us. And this is detailed in 3 Nephi chapter 9, verse 20, that when we shall fully offer up unto him the sacrifice of a broken and contrite spirit, then he will baptize us with fire and with the Holy Ghost, which is the first endowment. Wherefore, verse 9 in Ether 12, ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if ye will but have faith. Behold, it was by faith that they of old were called after the holy order of God. Let's cross-reference Alma chapter 13, the holy order of God. Verse 1. And again, my brethren, I would cite your minds forward to the time when the Lord God gave these commandments unto his children. And I would that you should remember that the Lord God ordained priests after his holy order, which was after the order of his son, to teach these things unto the people. So there are four orders of priesthood that have been given to man on this earth. Two of the Aaronic, two of the Melchizedek. The first order of Aaronic is Levitical, which doesn't have the power to bless, but only to bind heavy burdens. The second order of Aaronic is what we call the Aaronic, which holds the key to the ministering of angels. Then we have the first order of Melchizedek, also called the Apostolic Order of Melchizedek Priesthood, which is the power to officiate in the terrestrial order of the gospel, the Church of Christ, to perform baptism by water into the fullness of the gospel versus baptism by water of the Aaronic priesthood into the preparatory gospel, and to perform the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the second order of Melchizedek priesthood, the patriarchal order of Melchizedek priesthood, or what we read in D&C 76, as verse 57, and are priests of the Most High after the order of Melchizedek, which was after the order of Enoch, which was after the order of the only begotten Son. Those who are ordained unto this order are part of the holy order. And this is the holy order talked about in Ether 12, verse 10. Behold, it was by faith that they of old were called after the holy order of God. And so going back to Alma 13, though the Lord God ordained priests after his holy order, last part of verse 1, which was after the order of his son, to teach these things unto the people. And those priests were ordained after the order of his son in a manner that thereby the people might know in what manner to look forward to his son for redemption. And this is the manner after which they were ordained, being called and prepared from before the foundation of the world, according to the foreknowledge of God, on account of their exceeding faith and good works. In the first place, being left to choose good or evil. Now, what is the setting of this? The setting of this is before the foundation of the world. So before their mortality, in which they were ordained and sealed to the holy order, they exercised faith and exceeding good works. In the first place, being left to choose good or evil, are we left to choose between good and evil in the presence of God? No. We're only left to choose between good and evil when we take upon ourselves a coat of skins or a telestial mortal body, and that veil of forgetfulness is drawn across our minds. But again, what is the time and place? Before the foundation of the world. Men who are candidates for the holy order must exercise exceedingly great faith and be left to choose good or evil. Therefore, they, having chosen good and exercised exceedingly great faith, are called with a holy calling, yea, with that holy calling which was prepared with and according to a preparatory redemption for such. So back in Ether 12, verse 10. Behold, it was by faith, seeking after, receiving, and acting on revelation, that they of old were called after the holy order of God. Wherefore, by faith was the law of Moses given. But in the gift of his Son hath God prepared a more excellent way. And it is by faith that it hath been fulfilled. For there be no faith. For if there be no faith among the children of men, God can do no miracle among them. Wherefore, he showed not himself until after their faith, or until after they sought after, received, and acted upon revelation. Behold, it was the faith of Alma and Amulek that caused the prisons to tumble to the earth. Behold, it was the faith of Nephi and Lehi that wrought the change upon the Lamanites, that they were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost. So, you know, often it's said, well, how do we know that in 3 Nephi 9, verse 20, and ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Yea, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Okay, this is commonly misunderstood, and they knew it not. The account is given in Helaman chapter 5. Well, how do we know that it's the account in Helaman chapter 5 that is the Lamanites receiving the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not? Well, because of what it says in Ether chapter 12, that it was the faith of Nephi and Lehi in verse 14 that wrought the change upon the Lamanites, that they were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost. So if we go to Helaman chapter 5, verse 41, and Amminadab said unto them, you must repent. This is to the 300 Lamanites who had been enshrouded in a mist of darkness, even as Nephi and Lehi were surrounded in pillars of fire as the guards came to the prison to kill them. You must repent and cry unto the voice, even until ye shall have faith in Christ, who is taught unto you by Alma and by Amulek and Zizrom. When ye shall do this, the cloud of darkness shall be removed from overshadowing you. So this is not their first encounter with the doctrine of Christ. They had received it years before, but they had not yet acted upon it, but they're about to. Verse 42, and it came to pass that all they did begin to cry unto the voice of him who had shaken the earth. Yea, they did cry even until the cloud of darkness was dispersed. And it came to pass that when they cast their eyes about and saw that the cloud of darkness was dispersed from overshadowing them, behold, they saw that they were encircled about, yea, every soul by a pillar of fire. So in 3 Nephi 9:20, when it says they knew it not, it's not that they didn't know of the experience they were having. For they saw that every soul was encircled about by a pillar of fire. And verse 44, and Nephi and Lehi were in the midst of them, and they were encircled about, yea, they were as if in the midst of a flaming fire, yet it had harmed them not. Neither did it take hold upon the walls of the prison, and they were filled with that joy which is unspeakable and full of glory. And behold, the Holy Spirit of God did come down from heaven and did enter into their hearts, and they were filled as if with fire, and they could speak forth marvelous words. Well, they certainly knew that the Holy Spirit came down from heaven, entered into their hearts, and filled them as if it were by fire. And they certainly knew that they could speak forth marvelous words. Verse 46, and it came to pass that there came a voice unto them, yea, a pleasant voice, as if it were a whisper, saying, peace, peace be unto you, because of your faith in my well-beloved, who is from the foundation of the world. So they also knew that the voice of Father had come unto them, introducing his Son. And now when they had heard this, they cast their eyes as if to behold from whence the voice came. And behold, they saw the heavens open. And angels came down out of heaven and ministered unto them. Well, they all also saw the heavens open, and angels came down and ministered unto them. And there were about 300 souls who saw and heard these things. And they were bidden to go forth and marvel not, neither should they doubt. And it came to pass that they did go forth and minister unto the people, declaring throughout all the regions round about all the things which they had heard and seen, insomuch that the more part of the Lamanites were convinced of them because of the greatness of the evidences which had been received. And as many as were converted did lay down their weapons of war and their hatred and traditions of their fathers. And it came to pass that they did yield up unto the Nephites the lands of their possession. So in 3 Nephi chapter 9, when it says, and they knew it not, it's not that they didn't understand that they had had the most profound experience of their entire life. But what they didn't know was that that most profound of experiences is called the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, because they were taught that later. And so many people think it's possible to have the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and know it not. But that is not the case. Nobody can have the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, without an understanding that they just experienced the most profound experience of their entire life. Verse 20, or verse 14 in Ether 12. Behold, it was the faith of Nephi and Lehi that wrought the change upon the Lamanites, that they were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost. But it was the faith of Ammon and his brethren which wrought so great miracles among the Lamanites. Yea, and even all they who wrought miracles wrought them by faith, even those who were before Christ and also those who were after. And it was by faith that the three disciples obtained a promise that they should not taste of death. And they obtained not the promise until after their faith. And neither at any time hath any wrought miracles until after their faith, or until after they exercise seeking after receiving and acting on revelation. Then do they perform miracles. Wherefore they first believed in the Son of God, or had hope. And there were many whose faith was so exceedingly strong, even before Christ came, who could not be kept from within the veil, but truly saw with their eyes the things which they had beheld with an eye of faith, and they were glad to behold with an eye of faith. Moses chapter 1, verse 1. The words of God which he spake unto Moses at a time when Moses was caught up to an exceedingly high mountain. And he saw God face to face, and he talked with him, and the glory of God was upon Moses. Therefore, Moses could endure his presence. So Moses is having an ascension experience. Moses went up to the high mountain, not an earthly mountain, but the heavenly mountain, or that place which Isaiah and Enoch call the seventh heaven, that place in the heavens where Christ reigns in the fullness of his glory. And Moses isn't just seeing into the heavens, he went into the heavens. He's beholding with an eye of faith. And the glory of God was upon Moses. Well, it's not possible to have an ascension experience or enter into the rest of the Lord, which rest is the fullness of his glory, until one has the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, which Moses had at the burning bush. And because no unclean thing can come into Christ's presence in the fullness of his glory and remain alive, Moses had to have a brand new baptism of fire, not the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a one-time event, which he had already had. But he had to have a brand new baptism of fire that he might be completely cleansed. And then that baptism of fire had to progress to transfiguration. And when that baptism of fire progressed to transfiguration, then Moses was taken up to the high mountain and verse 9. And the presence of God withdrew from Moses, that his glory was not upon Moses, and Moses was left unto himself, and as he was left unto himself, he fell unto the earth. So once Moses' transfiguration ended, he could not stay in Christ's presence in the fullness of his glory. And verse 10, and it came to pass that it was for the space of many hours before Moses did again receive his natural strength, like unto man. And he said unto himself, now for this cause I know that man is nothing, which thing I never had supposed. So few men will ever know the pomp and ceremony that this world has to offer as a prince of Egypt, which Moses grew up as. And yet when he came into Christ's presence in his glory, he realized as never he could have before, how desperately he needed a savior and that awful chasm that separated him from Jesus Christ. And while it was a deeply personal and intimate experience, what it was not was casual. It is impossible to go into Christ's presence in the fullness of his glory and have a casual or what I would call chummy experience with Christ. Verse 11. But now mine own eyes have beheld God, but not my natural, but my spiritual eyes, for to behold with the eye of faith. For my natural eyes could not have beheld, for I should have withered and died in his presence. But his glory was upon me, and I beheld his face, for I was transfigured before him. Or in other words, it's not possible for us to take our physical body into Christ's presence in the fullness of his glory until we're translated. But what is possible? After the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Once we have been sufficiently instructed and sanctified about how to part the veil and enter into the rest of the Lord, we're able to receive a brand new baptism of fire, which progresses to transfiguration. And then Moses' spirit was taken up and out of his body into the seventh heaven, and he came into Christ's presence in the fullness of his glory. And there, he was sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, where he had his calling and election made sure. And he became a member of the church of the firstborn. Ether chapter 12. Verse 19. And there were many whose faith was so exceedingly strong even before Christ came, who could not be kept from within the veil, but truly saw with their eyes the things which they had beheld with an eye of faith. And they were glad. And behold, we have seen in this record that one of these was the brother of Jared. For so great was his faith in God, that when God put forth his finger, he could not hide it from the sight of the brother of Jared. Because of his word which he had spoken unto him, which word he had obtained by faith. And after the brother of Jared had beheld the finger of the Lord, because of the promise which the brother of Jared had obtained by faith, the Lord could not withhold anything from his sight. Wherefore he showed him all things, for he could no longer be kept without the veil. Or in other words, after the brother of Jared saw the finger of the Lord, the veil was parted. And just like Moses, the brother of Jared was taken up to the high mountain, and he came into Christ's presence in the fullness of his glory. And verse 22, and it is by faith that my fathers have obtained the promise that these things should come unto their brethren through the Gentiles. Therefore the Lord hath commanded me, yea, even Jesus Christ. So, the fullness of the gospel is to go unto the Lamanites once the end time Exodus begins. And once the end time Exodus begins, which is led by Joseph Smith, then the first people who receive the fullness of the gospel are the Lamanites. And there's a separation between the wheat and the tares among the Lamanites. And then the fullness of the gospel can be taken to the rest of the Gentile nation. And once New Jerusalem is established, the gathering of Israel can continue and be completed from and verse 23. And I said unto him, Lord, the Gentiles, or the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, will mock at these things because of our weakness in writing. For, Lord, thou hast made us mighty in word by faith, but thou hast not made us mighty in writing. For thou hast made all this people that they could speak much because of the Holy Ghost which thou hast given them. And thou hast made us that we could write but little because of the awkwardness of our hands. Behold, thou hast not made us mighty in writing like unto the brother of Jared. For thou madest him that the things which he wrote were mighty, even as thou art, unto the overpowering of man to read them. And thou hast also made our words powerful and great, even that we cannot write them. Wherefore, when we write, we behold our weakness and stumble because of the placing of our words. And I fear lest the Gentiles shall mock at our words. And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Fools mock, but they shall mourn. And my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weakness. I give unto men weakness that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith, hope, and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. And I, Moroni, having heard these words, was comforted and said, O Lord, thy righteous will be done. For I know that thou workest unto the children of men according to their faith, according to their seeking after receiving and acting on revelation. For the brother of Jared said unto Mount Zerin, Remove, and it was removed. And if he had not had faith, it would not have moved. Wherefore thou workest after men have faith. And thus didst thou manifest thyself unto thy disciples, or after they had faith and did speak in thy name, thou didst show thyself unto them in great power. And I also remember that thou hast said that thou hast prepared a house for man, yea, even among the mansions of thy Father, in which man might have a more excellent hope. Wherefore man must hope, or he cannot receive an inheritance in the place which thou hast prepared. And again, I remember that thou hast said that thou hast loved the world, even unto the laying down of thy life for the world, that thou mightst take it up again to prepare a place for the children of men. And now I know that this love which thou hast had for the children of men is charity. Wherefore, except men shall have charity, they cannot inherit that place which thou hast prepared in the mansions of thy Father. Wherefore, I know by this thing which thou hast said, that if the Gentiles have not charity because of our weakness, that thou wilt prove them and take away their talent, yea, even that which they have received, and give unto them who shall have more abundantly. Okay, now again, specifically, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are being talked about. And it came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord that he would give unto the Gentiles grace, that they might have charity. And it came to pass that the Lord said unto me, If they have not charity, it mattereth not unto thee, for thou hast been faithful. Wherefore thy garment shall be made clean, and because thou hast seen thy weakness, thou shalt be made strong, even unto the sitting down in the place which I have prepared in the mansions of my Father. And now I, Moroni, bid farewell unto the Gentiles, unto the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and also unto my brethren whom I love, until we shall meet before the judgment seat of Christ. Wherefore all men shall know my garments are not spotted with your blood. And then shall ye know that I have seen Jesus, and that he hath talked with me face to face, and that he told me in plain humility, even as a man telleth another in mine own language concerning these things. And only a few have I written because of the weakness in my writing. And I would commend you to seek this Jesus, whom the prophets and apostles have written, that the grace of God the Father and also the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, which beareth record of them, may be and abide in you forever. Amen. Chapter 13. And now I, Moroni, proceed to finish my record concerning the destruction of the people of whom I have been writing. For behold, they rejected all the words of Ether, for he truly told them all things from the beginning of man. And that after the waters had receded from off the face of the land, it became a choice land above all other lands, a chosen land of the Lord. Wherefore the Lord would have that all men should serve him who dwell upon the face thereof. And that it was the place of the new Jerusalem, which had come down out of heaven, and the holy sanctuary of the Lord. So, North America is the place of New Jerusalem, which had come down out of heaven, the holy sanctuary of the Lord. Well, when does the city of Enoch return to the earth that New Jerusalem might be established? DNC 103. Verse 15. Behold, I say unto you, the redemption of Zion must needs come by power. Therefore, I will raise up unto my people a man who shall lead them, like as Moses led the children of Israel. Now, there are two individuals likened unto Moses. One is the prophet, who is like unto Moses, who is Jesus Christ. The other is the Lord's end-time servant, Joseph Smith Jr. For ye are the children of Israel and the seed of Abraham, and ye must be needs led out of bondage by power and with a stretched out arm. And as your fathers were led at the first, even so shall the redemption of Zion be. Therefore, let not your hearts faint, for I say not unto you as I said unto your fathers. Mine angels shall go up before you, but not my presence. But I say unto you, mine angels shall go up before you and also my presence. And in time ye shall possess the goodly land. Verily I say unto you that my servant Joseph Smith Jr. is the man to whom I liken the servant to whom the Lord of the vineyard spake in the parable which I've given unto you. Therefore, let my servant Joseph Smith Jr. say unto the strength of my house, my young men, they that are of middle age, gather yourselves together unto the land of Zion, upon the land which I have bought with money that has been consecrated unto me. So it's on the end time exodus that the city of Enoch will return and New Jerusalem be established. The continuation is found in JST Genesis 9, verse 21. And here God is speaking to Noah about the covenant that he made with his great-grandfather Enoch. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant which I made unto thy father Enoch, that when men should keep all my commandments. Well, how is it possible that men should keep all of God's commandments? Well, on the Exodus, after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, as we seek to feast upon the words of Christ, which means not only to seek after and receive, but also to do, then the words of Christ are placed into our hearts, and as we hearken unto them, we are then keeping all of God's commandments. Then, once we have a critical number of men and women who have received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and are on the end time Exodus, and are keeping all of God's commandments, then Zion should come again on the earth, the city of Enoch, which I have caught up unto myself. And this is mine everlasting covenant, that when thy posterity shall embrace the truth and look upward, then shall Zion look downward, and all the heavens shall shake with gladness, and the earth shall tremble with joy. And the general assembly of the church of the firstborn shall come down out of heaven and possess the earth, and shall have place until the end come. And this is mine everlasting covenant, which I have made with thy father Enoch. So back in Ether, chapter 13. Verse 3, and that it was the place of New Jerusalem, which had come down out of heaven, the holy sanctuary of the Lord. Behold, Ether saw the days of Christ, and he spake concerning a New Jerusalem upon this land. And he also spake concerning the house of Israel, and the Jerusalem from whence Lehi should come, after it should be destroyed, it should be built up again, a holy city unto the Lord. Wherefore, it could not be a new Jerusalem, for it had been in a time of old. But it should be built up again and become a holy city of the Lord, and it should be built up unto the house of Israel. So, we have two holy cities that are going to be established. New Jerusalem, which is the culmination of Joseph Smith's end-time exodus and the return of the city of Enoch. And then from New Jerusalem, there will be men who have been ordained and sealed to the patriarchal order of Melchizedek priesthood in the holy order, will then be sent out to the four corners of the earth to finish the gathering of Israel, including to the Jews, And as the separation of wheat and tares takes place among the Jews, they will assist the Jews in building Old Jerusalem again as a holy city. And those who enter its walls, like New Jerusalem, will have to be members of the Church of the Firstborn. And verse 6 in Ether 13. And that a new Jerusalem should be built upon the land unto the remnant of the seed of Joseph, for which things there has been a type. For as Joseph brought his father down into the land of Egypt, even so did he. Even so he died there. Wherefore the Lord brought a remnant of the seed of Joseph out of the land of Jerusalem, that he might be merciful unto the seed of Joseph, that they should perish not, even as he was merciful unto the father of Joseph, that he should perish not. So both Ephraim and Manasseh were brought out. And the New Jerusalem is the city of the seed of Joseph. And Old Jerusalem is the city of the house of Israel, or the rest of the house of Israel. Wherefore the remnant of the house of Joseph shall be built upon this land, and it shall be a land of their inheritance. And they shall build up a holy city unto the Lord, like unto the Jerusalem of old. And they shall do, and they shall no more be confounded until the end come, when the earth shall pass away. And there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, and they shall be like unto the old, save the old have passed away, and all things have become new. And the new heaven and the new earth happens at the coming of Christ in his glory, and the moving of the earth through the veil that separates the celestial portion of the universe from the terrestrial portion of the universe. There shall be a new heaven and a new earth, and they shall be like unto the old, save the old have passed away, and all things have become new. And then cometh the new Jerusalem, and blessed are they who dwell therein, for it is they whose garments are white through the blood of the Lamb, and they are they who are numbered among the remnant of the seed of Joseph, who were of the house of Israel. Or in other words, to have one's garments be washed white in the blood of the Lamb requires entering into his rest, which rest is the fullness of his glory, and becoming a member of the Church of the Firstborn. And then also cometh the Jerusalem of old, and the inhabitants thereof, blessed are they, for they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Or in other words, the requirement to go into Old Jerusalem will also to ascend to the level of Church of the Firstborn. And they are they who were scattered and gathered in from the four quarters of the earth, to be gathered by those of Joseph who are sent out from New Jerusalem. And from the north countries, having reference to the last 10 tribes, and are partakers of the fulfilling of the covenant which God made with their father Abraham. So there are lots of Latter-day Saints, especially in the tradition of Michael B. Rush, who believe that it's the last 10 tribes who will affect all these changes. And Michael Rush ascribes the responsibilities of the end-time servant Joseph Smith to the last 10 tribes, not realizing that it's Joseph who will preside over the gathering of the last 10 tribes, and that it's Joseph and those under his direction who have ascended the level of having the patriarchal order of Melchizedek priesthood sealed upon them, who will have the power to command the elements. Verse 12. And when these things come, bringeth to pass the scriptures which saith that there are they who were first who shall be last, and they are they who were last who shall be first. Let's cross-reference 1 Nephi chapter 13. Verse 39. And after it had come forth unto them, I beheld other books which came forth by the power of the Lamb. from the Gentiles unto them. These are the books which will be brought forth by Joseph in his return. Unto the convincing of the Gentiles and the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also the Jews who were scattered upon all the face of the earth, that the records of the prophets and the 12 apostles of the Lamb are true. Well, what is the record of the prophets and of the 12 apostles? Well, the record of the prophets is the full translation of the Old Testament, or Joseph Smith's translation of the brass plates, which he brings forth in his second ministry. What is the record of the 12 apostles? It's the full record of the New Testament, including the record of John the Baptist, which he will also bring forth with him in his second ministry. And the angel spake unto me, saying, these last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles in Joseph Smith's second ministry will establish the truth of the first, the full record of the Old Testament and New Testament, which are of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, which shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them, and shall make known to all kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father and the Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto him or they cannot be saved. And they must come according to the words which shall be established by the mouth of the Lamb. And the words of the Lamb shall be made known in the records of thy seed, as well as in the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the full translation of the New Testament and the Book of Mormon. Wherefore they both shall be established in one, for there is one God and one shepherd over all the earth. And the time cometh that he shall manifest himself unto all nations, both unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles. And after he has manifest himself unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles, then he shall manifest himself unto the Gentiles and also unto the Jews. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Or the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Or in other words, before the fullness of the gospel could be taken by the 12 apostles to the rest of the earth, it first had to go forward to the Jews. Well, the Latter-day Saints are the Jews of today. And before the fullness of the gospel can go forth to the entire world, the fullness of the gospel has to first go forth to the Latter-day Saints. And there has to be a separation of wheat among the tares among the Latter-day Saints. And once the fullness of the gospel has gone to the Latter-day Saints, and those who will receive it are separated from those who reject it, then the fullness of the gospel can be taken to the rest of the earth. Back to Ether chapter 13. Verse 18, wherefore it came to pass that in the first year that Ether dwelt in the cavity of a rock, there were many people who were slain by the sword of those secret combinations, fighting against Coriantumr, that they might obtain the kingdom. And verse 20, and in the second year, the word of the Lord came unto Ether that he should go and prophesy unto Coriantumr, that if he would repent, all his household, the Lord would give unto him his kingdom and spare the people. Otherwise, they should be destroyed, and all his household save it were himself. And he should only live to see the fulfilling of the prophecies which had been spoken concerning another people receiving the land for their inheritance, and Coriantumr should receive a burial by them, and every soul should be destroyed save it were Coriantumr. And it came to pass that Coriantumr repented not, neither his household, neither the people, and the war ceased not, and they sought to kill Ether, but he fled from before them and hid in the cavity of a rock. Ether 14, verse 17. And the name of the brother of Lib was called Shiz, And it came to pass that Shiz pursued after Coriantumr and did overthrow many cities, and it slay both women and children, and it burned the cities. And there went fear of Shiz throughout all the land. Yea, a cry went forth throughout the land. Who can stand before the army of Shiz? Behold, he sweepeth the earth before him. And it came to pass that the people began to flock together in armies throughout all the face of the land. And they were divided, and a part of them fled to the army of Shiz, and a part of them fled to the army of Coriantumr. And so great and lasting had been the war, and so long had been the scene of bloodshed and carnage, that the whole face of the land was covered with the bodies of the dead. And so swift and speedy was the war that there were none left to bury the dead. But they did march forth from the shedding of blood to the shedding of blood, leaving the bodies of both men, women, and children strewed upon the face of the land, to become a prey to the worms of the flesh. And the scent thereof went forth upon the face of the land, even upon all the face of the land, wherefore the people became troubled by day and by night, because of the scent thereof. Nevertheless, Shiz did not cease to pursue Coriantumr, for he had sworn to avenge himself upon Coriantumr of the blood of his brother, who had been slain. And the word of the Lord which came to Ether and Coriantumr should not fall by the sword. And thus we see the Lord did visit them in the fullness of his wrath, and their wickedness and abominations had prepared a way for their everlasting destruction. And it came to pass that Shiz did pursue Coriantumr eastward, even to the borders of the seashore. And there he gave battle unto Shiz for the space of 3 days. And so terrible was the destruction among the armies of Shiz that the people began to be frightened and began to flee before the armies of Coriantumr. And they fled to the land of Korihor and swept off the inhabitants before them, all them that would not join them. And they pitched their tents in the valley of Korihor, and Coriantumr pitched his tents in the valley of Shur. Now the valley of Shur was near the hill Comnor. Wherefore Coriantumr did gather his armies together upon the hill of Comnor, and did sound a trumpet unto the armies of Shiz to invite them forth to battle. And it came to pass that they came forth, but were driven again, and they came the second time, and were driven again the second time. And it came to pass that they came the third time, and the battle became exceedingly sore. And it came to pass that Shiz smote Coriantumr, that he gave him many deep wounds. And Coriantumr, having lost much blood, fainted and was carried away as though he were dead. Now the loss of men, women, and children on both sides was so great that Shiz commanded his people that they should not pursue the armies of Coriantumr. Wherefore they returned to their camps. Chapter 15. And it came to pass that when Coriantumr had recovered from his wounds and began to remember the words which Ether had spoken unto him, he saw that there had been slain by the sword nearly 2 millions of his people, and began to sorrow in his heart. For there had been slain 2 millions mighty men, and their wives and their children. He began to repent of the evil which he had done, and he began to remember the words which had been spoken by the mouth of the prophets. And he saw them that they were fulfilled thus far, every whit, and his soul mourned and refused to be comforted. And it came to pass that he wrote an epistle to Shiz, desiring him that he would spare his people, and that he would give up the kingdom for the sake of the lives of his people. And it came to pass that when Shiz had received the epistle, he wrote an epistle unto Coriantumr, that if he would give himself up, that he might slay him with his own sword, that he would spare the lives of the people. And it came to pass that the people repented not of their iniquity. And the people of Coriantumr were stirred up to anger against the people of Shiz. And the people of Shiz were stirred up to anger against the people of Coriantumr. Wherefore the people of Shiz did give battle unto the people of Coriantumr. And when Coriantumr saw that he was about to fall, he fled again before the people of Shiz. And it came to pass that he came to the waters of Replancum, which by interpretation is large or to exceed all. Wherefore, when they came to these waters, they pitched their tents, and Shiz also pitched his tent unto them. And therefore on the morrow they did come to battle. And it came to pass that they fought exceedingly sore battle, in which Coriantumr was wounded again, and he fainted with the loss of blood. And it came to pass that the armies of Coriantumr did press upon the armies of Shiz, and they did beat them, and they caused them to flee before them, and they did flee southward, and did pitch their tents in a place which was called Ogath. And it came to pass that the army of Coriantumr did pitch their tents by the hill Ramah. And it was that same hill where my father Mormon did hide up the records unto the Lord which were sacred. And it came to pass that they did gather together all the people upon all the face of the land who had not been slain, save it was Ether. And it came to pass that Ether did belong or behold all the doings of the people. And he beheld the people who were for Coriantumr were gathered together to the army of Coriantumr. And the people who were for Shiz were gathered together to the army of Shiz. Wherefore, they were for the space of 4 years gathering together the people, that they might get all who were upon the face of the land, that they might receive all the strength which it was possible that they could receive. And it came to pass that when they were all gathered together, every one to the army which he would, and their wives and their children, both men and women and children, being armed with weapons of war, having shields and breastplates and headplates, and being clothed after the manner of war, they did march forth one against another to battle. And they fought all that day and conquered not. And it came to pass that when it was night, they were weary and retired to their camps. And after they had retired to their camps, they took up howling and a lamentation for the loss of the slain of their people. And so great were the cries and their howlings and lamentations that they did rend the air exceedingly. And it came to pass that on the morrow they did go again to battle. And great and terrible was the day. Nevertheless, they conquered not. And when the night came again, they did rend the air with their cries and their howlings and their moanings for the loss of the slain of their people. And it came to pass that Coriantumr wrote again an epistle unto Shiz, desiring that he would not come into battle, but that he would take the kingdom and spare the lives of the people. But behold, the Spirit of the Lord had ceased striving with them. And Satan had full power over the hearts of the people, and they were given up unto the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, that they might be destroyed. Wherefore they went again to battle. And it came to pass that they fought all that day. And when the night came, they slept upon their swords. And on the morrow, they fought even until the night came. And when the night came, they were drunken with anger, even as a man who is drunken with wine. And they slept again upon their swords. And on the morrow, they fought again. And when the night came, they had all fallen of the sword, by the sword, save it were the 52 of the people of Coriantumr and 69 of the people of Shiz. And it came to pass that when they slept upon their swords that night, and on the morrow they fought again, and they contended in their might with their swords and with their shields all that day. And when the night came, there were 32 of the people of Shiz and 27 of the people of Coriantumr. And it came to pass that they ate and slept and prepared for death on the morrow. And they were large and mighty men as to the strength of men. And it came to pass that they fought for the space of 3 hours, and they fainted with loss of blood. And it came to pass that when the men of Coriantumr had received sufficient strength, they could walk. They were about to flee for their lives, but behold, Shiz arose and also his men and swore in his wrath that they should slay Coriantumr or he would perish by the sword. Wherefore he did pursue them and on the morrow did overtake them. And they fought again with the sword. And it came to pass that when they had all fallen by the sword, save it were Coriantumr and Shiz, behold, Shiz had fainted with the loss of blood. And it came to pass that when Coriantumr had leaned upon his sword, that he rested a little, he smote off the head of Shiz. And it came to pass that after he had smitten off the head of Shiz, that Shiz raised upon his hands and fell. And after he had struggled for breath, he died. And it came to pass that Coriantumr fell to the earth and became as if he had no life. And the Lord spake unto Ether and said unto him, go forth. And he went forth and beheld that the words of the Lord had all been fulfilled. And he finished his records, or his record, and the hundredth part I have not written. And he hid them in the manner that the people of Limhi did find them. And the last words which are written by Ether are these: whether the Lord will that I be translated, or that I suffer the will of the Lord in the flesh, it mattereth not. If it so be that I am saved in the kingdom of God, amen.